We need to make sure every warrior is fully qualified on their assigned weapon system, every pilot's fully qualified and current on the aircraft they are flying, and every general or flag officer is selected for leadership or promotion purely based on performance, readiness, and merit. Leaders at all levels will be held accountable.
That was Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth at his confirmation hearing this past January. And based on the standard that he himself has set, that leaders at the highest level based on performance and merit should be held accountable. By that standard, it is time for Secretary Pete Hegseth to leave. He should withdraw and resign willingly, and if he doesn't do it, the President of the United States should encourage him to leave or outright fire him. That should be the bottom line here. There are way, way, way too many things that have piled up. This is not just what's happening right now. This is not just about whether is there a double tap. That is just the most egregious and the most current, but it is not the only one. There are so many things that have happened from the very beginning of his tenure all the way through to where we are now. By the behavior and the performance, Secretary Hegseth show he is clearly not up for the task and is in actual danger to the national security of the United States because of his decision-making powers and where what he puts value on and what he ignores. These are the things that matter the most. And listen, I just got to acknowledge right up front, when he was first nominated by the president on this channel right here, I said, you know what? Let's give him a chance. Because so many people said, oh, he's unqualified. He should never be given this job. He can't handle big organizations. All the stuff that has happened, that had happened when he was at Fox News and the alcohol and all that kind of stuff. And I said, look, let's give the guy a chance. He appears to have moved beyond the alcohol problem. And look, I said, maybe what we need is not just another guy from the cookie cutter, you know, who's, quote, qualified by the elite, the foreign policy elite that has been running the show for so many decades. And just guys who, you know, they were a general, they were in the defense industrial base and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And so they have done, in my view, a terrible job. So I said, maybe what we need is somebody new, somebody who's going to shake things up. I mean, he was a 2-time combat vet. I think he had 2 separate Bronze Star medals for valor. So he had seen combat. And I thought maybe that's what we need is somebody who was a major, who's a mid-level guy, but who can bring in new eyes. And he said, you know, in that hearing, you know, we're going to bring back the warrior ethos. We're going to bring back meritocracy, you know, hold people accountable. That's what he said. And I said, let's give the guy a chance. Well, we gave him a chance and a second chance and a third chance. And now the chances are expired. And now it's time to go. And listen, let's you know, talk about some of the major issues. Again, not just the one at hand. We're going to get to that. But let's start off almost at the very beginning, the whole Signalgate issue. Now, there was an announced, I guess, yesterday that this Pentagon report from the Inspector General has said that Hegseth risks endangering troops with his signal messages. You see the headline right there. That has been released to many members of the Senate. And the House, I believe. So far, it's apparently some unclassified version is going to be released today. Now, the spokesman for Secretary Hegseth says this completely exonerates him. This shows that he did nothing wrong, even though what we already know from the leaked reports is that it explicitly says there was classified information that was released. Now, listen, what I also said on the day this happened, this second, the instant that I learned about it, it was black and white, as clear as could possibly be, that this was a violation of the DOD regulations. Everything in the military, everybody in uniform is 100% clear-eyed that you cannot use your private phone. You cannot use an unclassified signal chat, whether it's encrypted or not. That's not classified. That's not encrypted by military standards. It's a civilian app. So we all know 100%. If anybody else had done this, if I had done it while I was on active duty, Lieutenant Colonel was doing things, literally active mission protocols. We're conducting combat operations. I'm giving live, real-time updates and sharing it with the highest levels of government. On an open source, I'd be in jail. Anyone else would be in jail. That's the reason we have those standards. And plenty of people who have violated the classified guidelines have gone to jail, have been brought up and court-martialed. But what happened? Nothing. Nothing at all happened. They sent it to the IG. Now, I originally thought this would never see the light of day. And, you know, it's been all these many months since that happened. And now that I'm to some surprise, it has actually seen the light of day. Now, what we've been reported so far is that it's going to say, well, but the Secretary of Defense actually has declassification authority, so that almost whatever words come out of his mouth, if he chooses to say they're declassified, they're declassified. That is a cop-out. That is a cop-out of the highest order, because he knows for sure that that was classified material. Everybody on that chat, and we're talking about the Secretary, the Secretary of Defense, of course, but we're also talking about the Vice President, the National Security Advisor, and a whole bunch of other folks were on that list as well. Every one of them knew for sure that that was not authorized, but that's one of the hallmarks of the Hegseth regime here, and that's why he has to go, because you have set the standard from right at the beginning. Rules don't matter. Laws don't matter. Doesn't matter what the regulations say. I am the regulation. And if I think it's convenient, and that's 100% what this was, folks, let there be no doubt in anyone's mind, this is a pure matter of convenience, that the signal gate issue. He wanted to be able to do it here. He's not going to worry about, you have to go into what's called a SCIF. It's a special classified information where everything is confined. The information can't get out. Only classified systems are allowed in, et cetera. You can only do mission operations, and he knows that. He knows that. He was a major, went into combat. So he 100% knew that, but he also 100% said, I'm above the law. If I say it's legal, I'm Secretary of War, Secretary of Defense at the time, so it's legal. No, it's not. The rules and regulations are there for a reason. They're just like with the laws of war, which unfortunately we're also going to get into in this episode. This is not to handcuff you. This is not to prevent you from doing your job. It's to make sure you do it right. It's to make sure that you protect information. It's to make sure you protect the mission itself. You protect the troops. And just as importantly, maybe even more so, it is to restrain the worst impulses of mankind. When you have a situation to where even the laws of land warfare don't apply, and I can just unilaterally rewrite laws to say, nope, this self-evidently violation of the laws of war don't apply, because I delegate them to not apply. I just declare they're null and void. They don't count. Or I'll change the definitions. And so by definition, whatever I do, it's something akin to throwing a dart into a wall and then walking up afterwards and painting a bullseye around it and saying, see, I hit exactly what I was shooting for. That's what we're talking about here. And that is a bad thing. A lot of the worst of the Nazis in World War II, the Germans, who did the most horrific atrocities, analysts and investigations and the histories went back and determined that most of these people, like a significant majority, were just normal Germans, just normal family members, normal business people, et cetera. They were just normal. Nobody had this, you know, these dark inclinations that had only been suppressed, and that now that it came out when they put that SS uniform on, what happened was you took a normal person and you removed the constraints of morality and law. And now that it says anything you want to do is okay and no one's going to hold you accountable. And then you open the gates to the worst of mankind. And even the Bible says the heart of man is dark, and without constraints, it will flower and blossom into something horrific. And that's why we must have the laws of war, and why we must hold leaders accountable when they violate them. Now, Admiral Bradley, at the heart of this also, this issue with the so-called double tap, which has been in the news a lot lately, that's what's going to be talked about today. There is a closed session on the Hill, and he is going to be talking about what had happened. And we'll see what he ends up having to say. Now, this is a closed session, so it's not going to be televised, and we'll see if any of this comes out. But we have a pretty good idea what's going to be talked about there. There was, a report by Martha Raddatz on ABC News last night. Let me show you this here, because this is going to show you basically, this has been leaked, of where this is going to go. Watch this.
And tonight, new information. According to a source familiar with the incident, the two survivors climbed back onto the boat after the initial strike. They were believed to be potentially in communication with others and salvaging some of the drugs. Because of that, it was determined they were still in the fight and valid targets. A JAG officer was also giving legal advice. So again, David, that video will be key, and Admiral Bradley will be on the Hill tomorrow behind closed doors.
So that's what they're going to say. They're just going to say, oh, you know what? They were a threat to the United States. So they know that the rule of law says that if you can, I've showed you before, this Rule 47 in international, the part of the Geneva Conventions, the UCMJ, they say basically the same thing, that if someone is wounded in action and they can no longer fight, then including shipwrecks, that's by name listed in Rule 47, then you cannot kill them. You have to give them quarter. You have to take them in. And it's so they know the rule. So now then after the fact, they're trying to doctor this up and saying, oh, what can we do? But, oh, I know. We'll just declare that they were still a threat to the United States. Look, that is absurd at face value again. And that's one of the reasons why I said from the beginning, release the full video, unedited, the whole thing, release it. You've already released part of it. You can release all of it. President Trump actually said last night, yeah, sure, we'll release it. Let's hold him to that. Let's have the whole thing released here. But now that I think because the president said that, now that they're going, oh, snap, it's going to be up. People are going to see that obviously it happened. Because remember, initially, they denied that there was a second shot. You remember Hegseth in his immediate tweet after said, oh, fake news, it's a hoax and all that kind of stuff about the double tap. And then the president actually said when first asked about it, he said, no, I was told that there wasn't a second shot. It's fake news. It didn't really happen. And then they said, oh, well, actually, it did happen. So now then they got to come up with something. Well, oh, I know. Well, according to the rules of lawfare, if they still represent a threat, then you can take them out. So that's what happened. We'll take a look and see with ourselves when that video comes out. And I certainly hope that we do. But listen, just think about the logic of this. There's a boat, a small boat, that gets hit with a missile. 9 guys are killed immediately. 2 people survive, and they get back on the boat. What the claim is, what Martha Raddatz said there, was that, oh, you know what? They were in communication with somebody, and they were trying to recover the drugs, so they still remained a threat. Look, don't insult my intelligence. Don't insult the American people by thinking we're stupid. And then we're going to fall for something so absurd at face value. Really? The guy who 9 of their friends just got blown up and killed, torn apart in a horrific way. You survived. And the first thing you're going to do is to start collecting the drugs. And even if they did, to what end? The boat is dead in the water. It's not going anywhere. And maybe they were talking to somebody. I think that's dubious. We'll see. I mean, you saw them pick up a microphone and talk on a radio. I don't know. I haven't seen the video, so we don't know either. But you know what? Let's say that that is what happened. Let's say that they did pick up a radio, they did communicate, and they were trying to, for whatever reason, to collect samples of the drugs. That's still not a lethal, a capital offense that you can execute somebody for. That is crucial to understand here, because the laws of war don't say if someone is doing drugs that you can kill them. There is no international law, there is no law of warfare, and there is no American law that allows you to kill people. Consider the illogic of what we're being told here. Well, we've designated them narco-terrorists, and you've heard that a lot already as well. They keep going back to that because they're like, oh, I know. If we go back and say that these are terrorists, then we can just kill them with impunity. But they're not terrorists. Just because you say they are and declare them so doesn't make it so. And there is a fundamental, profound difference between the two. With ISIS, with Al-Qaeda, which they have been directly linked to, or the attempt has been made, those guys were attempting to murder people. They sometimes literally and physically cut off the heads of innocent victims on camera as a means of terror to accomplish some sort of political objective. That's what terrorism is. I mean, by definition, that's what terrorism is. This is a drug issue. This is illegal. It's against the law, but it's a drug issue. It's not terrorism. So it has different laws that are go on for that. And we need to distinguish between those. You must be distinguished. The punishment has to meet the law. That's a standard of American democracy. And as a matter of fact, Rand Paul talked about that very issue here where he was asked about this question about this double tap. We're going to get back to that in a second. But he was saying, we got to find it. Is any of this legal?
The idea that these people were still a threat, it's a debate whether they were ever a threat. They're on a motorboat 2,000 miles from our coast. If you want to take that motorboat to the closest point of entry in Miami, you'd probably have to fill it up 20 times. These motorboats can't go 2,000 miles on a tank of gas. If there was drugs on board, they may be going to other countries, but probably not to the U.S.
And that's so important to understand here. You're trying to go back and just paper this over and make, after the fact, justify it. There is no justification for this. There is none. But a lot of people are supportive of this. There have been a number of folks out there who are saying, yeah, kill them all, because that's what they want. They're like, yeah, they're bad guys, so kill them, because we have made it so easy over the years, especially over since 9/11. We have continued to deaden our understanding of the value of life. Now, so many conservatives in the United States, which I consider myself a political conservative, have often said, you know, the sanctity of life, et cetera. You know, they're primarily talking about the unborn. But sanctity of life is life, period. But we have so minimized it and so devalued it that now then we don't have any problem going after people. Let me show you a member of the House, Dan Crenshaw, who's also a former member of the armed forces. He was also asked about this double tap, and watch his very callous answer.
I can't recall any time in my history doing counterterrorism operations where we strike a group, whether that's a building or a boat or a vehicle, and then we were like, oh, well, they're survivors. We have to go. We can't kill them. Of course we kill them.
Yeah, of course we kill them, says Dan Crenshaw, because that's what we do with terrorists. We just kill them. We don't worry about any rule of law or due process or any of that kind of stuff. They're not terrorists. And understand this, too. What Dan Crenshaw didn't want to talk about there, what any of these people who are just applauding this killing of these people with no due process, with no legal, not even, as Senator Paul talks about here, finding out whether they were even guilty of anything. More on that in just a second. Also not a minor issue. But let's stick with this point here, because what he is failing to do, what all those who are advocating this and using this as justification after the fact to try and paper over the murder of people, You lose the logic of it. You're wanting to claim that these are Al-Qaeda and ISIS people that are moving these drugs around. Well, my friend, there's a chain of events here. The allegation is that these drugs would have ended up in America somehow. And that's because it ends up killing people, so the logic goes, these guys are terrorists. But you understand, as Rand Paul just graphically pointed out there, those boats could never have made it to America. So that at best, they could have just taken it to another port to where it would have been picked up in another transportation of some sort on the land, in the air, or another boat to get to the United States. So since you're saying that these guys, where this was going at the time of the attack, was going to end up over here, which was resulting in the overdose death of Americans, then they're terrorists. Therefore, by logic, every other step of that process are also terrorists. If you're moving it in the Caribbean Sea, then you're going to be terrorists who got it the next phase and moved it out into Mexico or Colombia, or moved it by air into an American port of entry somewhere, an airport, a seaport, etc. And then the guys who picked it up at the port, and then who were transported it on elsewhere into the United States, and then the actual dealer that sold it to the person who would eventually overdose. Every single one of those is part of a chain. So if you're going to say these guys are terrorists and could be killed on sight with no due process, then by logic and extension, you must logically argue that every one of these others can be executed and killed on sight because they're terrorists. Well, that's self-evidently absurd. Of course, that's not the case. They're not. They're violating the law. They're breaking the law, but that's not a capital offense. We have judicial evidence here. We have due process so that whatever the crime is, if you're guilty of it, then you will be held accountable at the appropriate level. That's the very core, the foundation of American jurisprudence. If you say, we're going to get rid of that, folks, listen to me. Don't miss this. Where does it stop? Here? Does it stop the guy in the boat? Or do we now say, maybe we should expand it into the next level here? And maybe we should expand it to where whoever received that in the U.S. that distributed it further, maybe we should start killing them too without any kind of judicial process. You see what I'm saying? And then you start doing that and you're like, well, you know, there's some other problems that are really vexing us. Maybe we should do the same here. We'll declare them terrorists as well. All of a sudden, anything becomes legal. Anything becomes authorized and they'll paper over whatever you want. This is a dangerous, dark path that we're going down and we need to stop. Now, there's another level of problem here, which Senator Paul also in that same interview exposed here. And he says, we have certain knowledge when the U.S. Coast Guard, who has been operating in this area for a long time, and we used to interdict them to actually validate whether they violated the law or not. And as Senator Paul points out, almost 20% of the time, one in five, they were not guilty.
To me, amazing that anybody in the public accepts this. The idea that we would make an accusation, we will simply accuse someone, and then they are found guilty without any kind of process. We asked the Coast Guard for specific statistics off the coast of Venezuela, and they said of boats that have been interceded off of the coast before we came up with this blow them to smithereens policy, we used to interdict them. And of the boats that we interdicted off the coast of Venezuela, about one in four, 21% to be exact, were not carrying drugs. That would mean if you're going to blow up all of the boats off the coast that look like drug boats or that you're suspicious for, 21% of the time you'd be killing innocent people. So I think it's outrageous that anybody would countenance this kind of activity. And I'm surprised that I seem to be one of the few people who seem to be alarmed at this. But I think it's unconscionable. It's wrong on any level to kill people with no proof that they are engaged in combat at all with your country.
And as it, he has since published this online. This is his answer here. So let me show this to you here. This is from the U.S. Department of Homeland, the United States Coast Guard. This is not a political paper. This is not somebody who's just against the administration. This is the administration. This is a branch of the U.S. Armed Forces, an official document. And what this says right up the beginning, he says, from September 1, 2024 to October 7, 2025, i.e. just barely 2 months ago, the Coast Guard surface assets operating under Coast Guard law enforcement authority interdicted 212 suspected drug smuggling vessels at sea headed toward the United States. Of the 212 interdictions, 41 vessels had no illicit contraband on board when interdicted. 24 of those 41s did not appear to commit any federal criminal offense. Some of the others may have had other illegal, maybe they were moving people across, et cetera. That's generally speaking. But then we look at what about the Caribbean Sea specifically. So in this area, in the area where we have been now killing people with impunity, of the 212 total vessels interdicted during this period, 69 vessels were interdicted in the Caribbean Sea by U.S. Coast Guard surface assets operating under the Coast Guard law enforcement. Of these 69 interdiction, 14 had no illicit contraband when interdicted. 11 of the 14 without contraband did not appear to commit any federal offense. You understand what the significance of that is, folks? What we're telling you right there is that if we had operated as we had in the past and interdicted the boats, we would have known for sure if they were guilty or if they weren't. If they were guilty, they could have been held accountable. They could have been arrested. They could have been due process. They could have been taken off the street. We could have gotten intelligence information out of them, found out where they came from, who their connections were, where it went back. You know, we could have found out, we could have gathered a lot. But this 11 boats of the 69 here that were guilty literally of nothing, they were allowed to go on their way. So by the standard in this area, this is an apples to apples comparison. Had we done in those previous ones what we are doing now, we would have murdered 11, well, the occupants of 11 boats, however many people that was, we don't know. But let's just say there was only one, we would have murdered 11 people. Therefore, it is logical, it is almost certain that some number of these, and I think the number is up to 20 now, that we have blown up and killed all the occupants, other short of two on one semi-submersible. Other than that, everybody has been killed. The likelihood is that we kill people illegally. We have murdered them. The Secretary of Defense has set this policy. This is Pete Hegseth's policy. And you see from the beginning, he's been doing things that are illegal, and he's been doing things that violate our own laws, and then with impunity, and just say, no, it's mocking them. And he's going to claim black is white and white is black. his spokesman has already said before this Signalgate report comes out, I've been exonerated. I'm 100% proven innocent. No, you're not. Whatever that law says or whatever that thing says, it's obviously going to have a lot of caveats, et cetera. But what is black and white clear is that it was a direct violation of the military protocols and the laws that we have, the military regulations, 100%. Nobody is stupid enough to believe that you can conduct mission operations on an unsecured network, period. Period. No question about it. Except for Pete Hegseth, who does have a question. He just says, I don't like it. It was inconvenient, so I'm not going to do it. That's where it started. Now then, it's a situation to where we have known evidence that certain percentage, a meaningful percentage, like 21%, are innocent of anything, any kind of crime. And yet you're just saying, yeah, just kill them. Don't worry about interdicting them. You remember President Trump has previously said, when asked, are you going to declare war on these people? Nah, I'm not going to worry about that. We're just going to kill them. Just going to kill them. Just casually like that, because life has no value as long as it's brown or as long as it's not ours. We kill some innocent people. They shouldn't have been in the water, right? That kind of thing. And like, or the Dan Crenshaws that I showed you a minute ago saying, yes, they're terrorists. So we should have the same argument with terrorists with no evidence, no evidence. Oh, you claim that we have perfect intelligence. Do you think that we had perfect intelligence then? Why did we interdict these boats in the first place if it turns out that they weren't? Did we not have intelligence that time? And you don't want to be looking at our track record on perfect intelligence. We've been lied to left and right. So you're now saying we're going to apply something that doesn't apply because it's and not even apples and oranges, more like apples and sticks, to say that these people in these boats that are running drugs, even the ones who actually are terrorists because they're going in. That obviates the responsibility of Americans who willingly don't just allow the drugs to come in, but pay for them. So there is a demand for them, and there's evil men who are going to say, yeah, I'll provide this illegal drug if it's going to get cash. I mean, that's the nature of a dark heart. So they're going to do that. Hold them accountable. Have laws to protect against that stuff. But unless you're going to change the laws and say it's now a capital offense, it's not right now. So you can't just say, yeah, just kill them. It's easier that way. See, you see what I'm saying? You see the consistent themes here? It's easier. It's a lot easier to just push a button and kill somebody instead of actually doing the hard work of interdicting them and then do due process. And that all takes time. It's a lot easier to just kill them. That's the standard that we're setting today. And that is terrible for the United States. That destroys our moral authority anywhere in the world. And it shows us to be a bully and a thug. The very kind of actions that we used to condemn other nations for. Now that we're calling it right and it's cool and it's fine because it's convenient and we don't want to do things that are hard and it's not even functioning. It's not going to help. You understand this. This is not going to stop the drugs. That's what President Trump said at his cabinet meeting the other day. Complete baloney. There's no way. You know what's going to happen? What always happens when you start interdicting one thing. I saw this throughout my time in Afghanistan. Counter drug operations were a huge part of that operation. And not only did it fail, the drug problem expanded. No matter how many times we tried to eradicate, to blow up the drug labs, to do all kinds of stuff on the ground, in the air, etc. We tried to do everything in the world. And all it did was accelerate because there's so much money to be made. They'll find a way around it. They'll pay money, bribe different officials here. They'll just use different means. They'll use different routes. There's no shortage of ways to get around. This won't do anything. And if President Trump expands it onto the ground, which he's claiming to, that's only going to further exacerbate it and only going to further our guilt because there's no law that allows us to go into another country and just start killing people suspected of drug activities. There's not. It doesn't exist. And all that's going to do is turn more people and more people and more people around the world against us. And when you destroy your moral authority, now you don't have any influence. And now then people stop willingly cooperating with you. This harms our interest. It's not just wrong of us immorally by itself. That's bad and that's enough. This harms our interest worldwide, way beyond the confines of the Caribbean. That's what we need to understand. That's why President Trump needs to fire Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth. He's got to go. He is now an albatross around Trump's neck, and Trump has shown many times that when somebody is no longer a political viability and utility to him, he'll cut them loose. So I suspect he's going to end up doing that. Or maybe Hegseth, you know, suddenly discovers a moral backbone and says, you know what, I'm just going to resign. If it does, just put that with a grain of salt. More likely he was told to be fired. But I it seems pretty unlikely to me he's going to survive this. I certainly hope not for our case. Obviously, everybody's going to be interested in seeing what this Admiral Bradley has to say. We'll be following that. There's also Admiral Halsey, by the way, who is reported to have resigned after a big head-to-head because he was asked to do things that were illegal. As the commander of Southern Command, a huge benefit that everybody ascribes to get to in their career, and 1 year into a three-year term, he just suddenly resigns. I think that he's going to be testifying. A lot of people want to know what that was all about, too. We'll be watching that as well. Thank you very much, folks. We appreciate it. We'll be back with you in about 30 minutes to talk with Patrick Henningsen, always one of our popular favorites here, and about what's going on with the Donbas situation and Putin's vow to take it all. We'll be talking about that very soon, 30 minutes from now. Talk to you then on the Daniel Davis Deep Dive.